Sadly, it is in fact not coming home. England is out 2-1, losers today to Croatia. Croatia is headed to the World Cup final. They will play France. This is Reach Deep. Randeep Janda, Myra Lawrence, in for the week as Riccio. It's kind of weird, I guess. He's a big soccer guy, and he takes the week off.
Maybe he just wanted to be by himself, away from people, to watch a little bit of soccer.
It is odd, Randeep.
No, you know, now I think about it.
They do have TVs on the island.
But they do. And apparently he was sitting at a beach. He's on vacation, but he's still low-key hitting his Twitter pretty consistently. Like, this guy has nothing better to do. I wonder if I'm his fiance, how
is
I feel.
Is that because he's bored and he just needs some soccer in his life?
I think so. My theory on why he took this week off
is because Violetta wanted to take it off.
No, because Italy is not in the World Cup. It would pain him to see all these teams cheering and getting close to the World Cup and Italia.
I don't know. He might have taken
it
off.
I don't know.
To like have this week to be able to focus. There are those people that like to be around other people when their team is playing, right? And kind of have a celebration, like probably at the Croatian community hall.
The cultural center.
There would have been a big crowd there. But then there's also those people, like sports fans, that I'm sure you know some of them too. And it's like, nope, I'm not going anywhere for Super Bowl if my team's in it.
I'm one of them.
I want to sit here and watch it by myself.
I'm that guy that wants to sit by himself. Like, I remember watching and... anybody that knows me knows I'm a huge Zinedine Zidane fan. The reason I got into soccer is him. 06 final, as a neutral, but pulling for Zidane, I didn't want to be bothered in the 06 final against Italy. So I understand that completely. Some people want to be, it has to be like library-like silence.
Yep.
Yeah, so I can get that. I can go with that. Big news, as I mentioned, England's out 2-1 to Croatia, and we're gonna be chatting with James Sharman in a few minutes here. Some background on James, if you've ever caught him on Sportsnet, he is an Englishman. He moved out to Canada when he was, I think, high school age. So he may be distraught when we have him on the phone. I'm gonna first and foremost ask how he's doing.
Good.
And second of all, we'll start breaking down the game then. I'm going to be nice. I'm not going to be that guy.
Be nice to him because this was probably
his
team.
I've never met James in person. We've chatted on the phone numerous times, so I want to be nice to him. I don't think I can go that far and dig at him right away.
You don't have that friendship with him.
I do not. And joining us now, Sportsnet's very own James Sharman. James, how are you?
Well, I've been better, of course, given what happened today.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. I wanted to kind of come in easy and just see, you know, how have the last couple hours been? Are you doing okay?
I appreciate that, man. I do. No, I'm doing just fine. It's been a great World Cup. I really enjoyed it. And usually when England crash at a World Cup, it's to teams like Iceland or Costa Rica, and I'm really angry. This time around, semi-finals, it's been a great ride, and they lost to a really good Croatia team who showed such great character and what an engine they have to get through. So I don't mind so badly losing to Croatia, but there's still obviously an underlying disappointment there.
Well, that disappointment you speak of, like I watched that game and the first half was unbelievable as far as England. They created a lot of chances. The second half, it seemed like they decided to sit back a little bit. Did you see it that way?
100%, yeah. I was really surprised. I mean, England teams in the past have done that. They've gone up 1-0 and they sit deep and it costs them. I thought this team might be different, but it seemed that way because you're right. In the first half, they're really very good. Scored the early goal, which is maybe too early in some regards. But in that second half, I don't know whether they were somewhat overwhelmed by the occasion, whether finally we saw some nerves in this team, but they really welcomed the Croatian attack. And Croatia's midfield, which is just so good, began to completely dominate. And in the end, you know, the better team won. But I think England is a very young team, young squad. They'll look at that and they'll learn from it. But from that standpoint, it was a shame that they didn't keep up the same tempo as you saw in the first half.
James, when you talk about Croatia and England having this tempo and momentum in the first half, Croatia maybe looking a little slow, and people were thinking, well, you know, here's these games that have gone to extra time and penalties, and they may be out of gas by the time they face England. Were you surprised by the jam they still had left?
I really was, because you're right. I thought in the first half, wow, this team is exhausted. They looked defeated in that first half, or at least for the first half an hour. No interest in getting on the ball. But then, you know, this team that had gone to penalties in the two previous rounds showed this inner resolve, and they just did not quit. They were winning 50-50 balls, challenges. Luka Modric, once again, was all over the park, and they left it all out there. And if you actually talk about all the minutes now, they've played a game more than anyone else at this point in the tournament because of the extra time. So one game more in the course of about 10 days, but they looked the fitter team, you know, for much of that second half and added time. So it was really impressive, their fitness levels, but also the character, because you know they were hurting. We saw their star striker, Mario Mandzukic, late in that game. He couldn't even walk. He was just exhausted. But they kept soldiering forward, kept pushing and pushing. So really impressive. I fear, you know, can they maintain that for the final now? Or is that going to be one match too many? But wow, what a great performance by Croatia.
Well, you've talked about that midfield a couple of times now with Ivan Rakitic and Luka Modric. And it should be noted that defensively, especially their two central defenders are not... I know they play for, you know, one of them plays for Liverpool, Dejan Lovren, and he's highly touted, but it's not the strongest back four they've ever had. Does that even put more of a burden on guys like Luka Modric and Rakitic? Like, what they've done has been amazing, especially looking at that back four.
It really has, but the back four's been great, though. And you're right, you mentioned Lovren there. And I watch every Liverpool game, and he can be great or he can be terrible. And you're always waiting for that mistake from Lovren. But in this tournament, he's been one of the better players. And, you know, it's not a back four for the stars, but they've really, you know, got the job done. But you're right, that the midfield allows them, I think, a little bit of space because Rakitic and Modric control the ball so well. Perisic today was, I thought, just outstanding. And Dalic, the manager, played Brozovic today as well, which gives those other guys a bit more freedom and shields the back four some more. So I think you're right. I think it's a whole balance in that team allows the defense to look good, which allows the midfield to look good. And then when they have to pop up and score goals from open play, they can do that with the warrior Mandzukic.
We're talking with Sportsnet's own James Sharman here on Sportsnet 650. As we look ahead to the final, Croatia and France, in your opinion, James, was this Croatia's World Cup final that they just beat England? Or it's not a given that even though France will be the favorite, they should pay attention to what Croatia is going to bring at them?
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, this World Cup's been crazy, right?
Right.
You know, what we expect just does not happen. And, you know, I am concerned, obviously, about the fitness levels of Croatia, given how much they've played. And France are really fresh right now. But France, you know, they should be the favorites entering this one. They've been very good in this World Cup. I still think they got another gear to give as well. They play for a very defensive-oriented coach in Didier Deschamps, who's criticized for that because he has so many great attacking weapons at his disposal, but you can't knock them. They've been so controlled and professional throughout this tournament, especially the knockout round. So I think there'll be too much for Croatia, but, you know, like I just said, you know, you just don't know. This Croatia team's got something about them, that resolve, that character. They do not quit. They want this. They've got this far, which is, I wouldn't say it's unexpected. I think a lot of people thought this is a good team before the tournament started. But for such a tiny nation and a team that operates amid such turmoil behind the scenes, that their football federation is in chaos all the time, to do that and to still, you know, maintain this consistency on the football pitch and to get this far, it's incredible. So they'll go home no matter what happens with their heads held high. But, you know, you never say never with this Croatia team.
Yeah, and looking at this matchup in the final, you know, a lot of soccer nerds will look at it and say, two of the best midfielders in the world. You have N'Golo Kanté on one side with Paul Pogba, Luka Modric and Ivan Rakitic on the other side. Who are you going with if it's those two midfields on Sunday? That's who this, you know, the matchup is going to be between. Who would you pick?
I'm going to pick France, I think, just about. I mean, I love Croatia's midfield, but just looking at Modric late in that game today and the last game, he was dead in his feet. Whereas N'Golo Kanté for France, this guy is inhuman. You know, his tank is bigger than anyone's. He just does not stop running. And Paul Pogba, I think, has had a renaissance in this tournament. Criticized at Manchester United this past season or two. He's been brilliant. So I'll give France just the edge there in attack. You know, think about Kylian Mbappe running at those fatigue legs of Croatia. I mean, that's frightening. This guy has got Olympic speed. He is absolutely incredible. Antoine Griezmann's guile, he's played quite well as well. And defensively, I'm not sure if there's a better team right now, you know, at the World Cup or throughout the World Cup than France with Titi and Varane, who have been just very, very good. So, you know, 1 through 11, you give France the edge. It won't be a blowout, I don't think, but I think France will be lifting their second World Cup title.
It's pretty unbelievable looking at, you know, some of the discussions that are being had online. Some of the, you know, Croatian fans are comparing this team to the France 98 team that had Davor Šukić and Boban and Slaven Bilic on the team, just in terms of the golden generation of Croatian soccer. On the other side, France, some people are saying Samuel Umtiti and Varane are up there with guys like Marcel Desailly in terms of being that stringent of a defense. Are those fair comparisons?
Well, I mean, I have to say, I'm a huge Desailly fan. I mean, my word, he was as good as I can remember seeing. He was brilliant. Listen, Varane's won Champions Leagues, right? You know, and Titi's won La Ligas of Barcelona. They're getting there. If you look at that French team back in 1998, they actually didn't play that well in that tournament until they had to. And a bit like this France. So there are some definite comparisons. I would say in attack, this team's more dangerous. Thierry Henry, of course, was part of that French squad, but not a key member. But they found a way. You know, they had great leadership with Laurent Blanc and Didier Deschamps as well. A wonderful team. Emmanuel Petit, Patrick Vieira. I mean, my word, what a team. So this French team, while that was a veteran team, this is a very, very young French team. It's the second youngest team squad at this World Cup. They're just beginning their journey. And I really think you're going to see this team build what could be a dynasty, in fairness, because they're just beginning it. And that French team before was towards the end, perhaps, of their window. Of course, they won Euro 2 years after 98. But good comparisons to make, and we'll see what Varane does the next few years.
James, yesterday's big news out of the soccer world, other than the World Cup, was Cristiano Ronaldo making it official that he's going to be part of Juventus and leaving Real Madrid 4 years, joining Juventus, a team that he's kind of stuck it to on a numerous occasions. Basically, this is a move for him to deliver a Champions League title to Juventus, yes?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he scored 10 Champions League goals against Juventus. Think about that, 10.
Ouch.
No one scored more, so let's get him. you know, Juve have just bossed the Serie A for so many years now, and they've come close in the Champions League, but always fallen just short. The man that will lead that team to the Champions League will be a legend forever, because Gigi Buffon couldn't manage it, sadly, and he's leaving now. There's been some great Juventus players over the years, absolute legends who haven't reached that height. So if he can do it, I'm sure he will. And that's why I think he's gone there for himself, because, listen, he's dominated English football at Manchester United, the biggest club. He's dominated Spain now at arguably the biggest club in Real Madrid. Now let's go to Italy, you know, the somewhat unfashionable Serie A in recent years, but let's make it fashionable and let's dominate that. So I think from his standpoint, he'll go there, he'll be beloved by the fans and the club, and that's what he wants more than anything, to be loved. That's why he's left Real Madrid. He'll feed the ego, and bottom line is he's still a great footballer and will make a difference. Is it a big enough difference in the Champions League? We're going to find that out, but it's a fascinating move, and I'm still quite stunned by it.
Yes, Cristiano definitely loves him some Cristiano, so he's going
for it. He certainly does.
James, to put a bow around on England's tournament here, give us something positive that English fans should be positive about after this tournament. I know there's negativity when your team loses, but how good does the future look for this English team?
You know, I'm the biggest critic of this team usually, but I'm extremely hopeful about the future. Very young squad, third youngest in the World Cup. They won the under-17 World Cup last year. They won the under-20 World Cup last year. Those kids haven't even made an impact yet on this squad. So there's more talent coming through the ranks. They've got a manager who just gets it. He can be a progressive manager. He understands what it's like to be an English footballer in that market, which is extremely difficult. So I think right now, after years, you know, a couple of decades of dismal failure, let's be honest here, where the golden generation failed, we've got a group of likable athletes now that can go a long, long way, I think, if they can keep their feet on the ground. And you know how it is over there. Right now, this squad are going to go back home and will be lauded and deified by people in the media. Well, that can change quickly. So if they can keep themselves rooted to the ground, watch out. This team could be enjoying a few more semifinals.
Likeable English player. So you're saying John Terry's not in the squad. Okay.
Precisely.
Thanks very much for joining us, James. Always a pleasure talking to you, and enjoy the World Cup final this weekend.
Thanks very much, guys. You too. Sportsnet 650.